cannot be counted. We have a destiny. And a destiny to a place that cannot be understood in the natural mind, cannot be comprehended in any other realm other than the realm of the Spirit.
Amen.
There is no way can the flesh even attempt to understand God. There is no way that the flesh and the mind can even catch 1% of what God is. He is great. We're still trying to fathom some of the workings of the universe. God created these things. God made these things. God engineered these things. And we're still scratching our heads. We're scratching around on the surface. We're reaching out to the stars, trying to find God. When even on this small planet that we live on, we are still finding things that we've never seen before. We have not plumbed its depths. We've not gone yet to the deepest ocean. We have not the ability. There are things and beings that God created that live and breathe and have their being. And as Andy read in Revelation 5, and John stands there and suddenly he looks and sees an innumerable company. It's not about trying to work God out. It's trying to work God in. It's working God into here, not working Him out. When Andy read that scripture and was asking those questions, how big is this angel? Big enough. Big enough. How big's your God? Is He big enough? He was big enough to conquer sin and death and hell and the devil. And you know something? He didn't even have to call upon one angel. And yet there is a company of angels that we cannot count. And yet Jesus was able to conquer sin and death and sickness and disease. And God Himself was able to do that without calling on the angels. There's an old chorus that we used to sing many, many, many years ago. How great is our God? How great is His name? He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And He said, I will never leave you. Just put your trust in Me, He said. Isn't that right? Fantastic song, you know. Oh, it's a little rhyme. He rolled back the waters. Remind yourself of the great things that God has done. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And He said, I'll never leave you. Put your trust in Me.
Amen.
God has never lied yet.
Amen.
Isn't that great? He's never lied. He's not a man that He should lie. But while Andy read that scripture, and he was asking the question, you know, well, how did they know what song to sing? It's easy. One Spirit. One God. One mind. And you know exactly what God is saying. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what is in God's mind. what is in on the heart of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit orchestrates. And there are times when we've had it, when each of us have had words that have confirmed things at different times together, when God has been confirming His word. God has, and we've been away during the week, and we've come together, and God through the week, through the Holy Spirit, has been saying the same thing. We hadn't met, we hadn't spoken, but God Himself was saying to you, to me, to others around you, the same thing. One Spirit, one God, one hope. A sure and certain hope. He's not dead.
No.
The tomb's empty.
No,
I've been there. And it's an empty tomb. Glory to God. Praise His name. And people ask and question, and they're right to ask the questions. But Jesus is the answer.
Yes.
Jesus is the answer. And as Andy was asking that question about the angels singing, what a noise, what a sound. Angels singing and harmonizing. We had once an experience where somebody heard angels singing while we were singing. We can have visitations of angels. But a chapter came to mind, Job 38. Job's going through a horrendous turmoil in his life. He's lost everything. So he thinks. He's lost his family. He's lost his children. He's lost his wealth. He's lost his prestigious standing before the people. And he's lost his health. And he's sat in a pile of ashes. And he's covered in boils through the stress, the trauma. And he's totally disabled. He can't move. The only thing he can do is scrape himself of all that is running out of him. And his wife comes to encourage him. Why don't you just curse God and die, you old beggar? That's the place she'd got to. She'd had enough. She'd gone through the same things. She'd lost her home. She'd lost her wealth. She'd lost her children. She's ready to lose him also. Get out of your misery. Curse God and die. He refused to do that. And we know some of the story. But in 38, God comes to Job. In verse 1 says, "And then God answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge?'" In other words, what on earth are you talking about? What on earth are you going on about? Where are you getting all this rubbish from? You are getting this out of your darkness. What's his darkness? His sadness, his grief, his fear, his worry, his pains. He's getting all these questions and he's getting all these answers and understanding. And you don't get answers and understanding in grief, pain and stress. Yeah. words without knowledge. You know, have you noticed so many people can spout a load of words off and they haven't got a clue what they're talking about? Words without knowledge. Verse 3, now gird up your loins like a man. In other words, shut up moaning. See, God is not listening to moaners and complainers.
No.
There's no room for a moaner and a complainer in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, there's nothing to moan about. There's nothing to complain about. Everything's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That which is perfect is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And the song that comes out from that which is perfect is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And when something is perfect, then there is nothing else to be done.
Mm-hmm.
It's complete. It is finished. Jesus said on the cross, when he surrendered his spirit, he said, it is finished. It is complete. It is perfect. The work is finished and complete, and everything is made perfect. Everything is now ready. Because he said to that thief, today, you will be with me in paradise. Not, well, you'll have to wait a while. While we just get a few things sorted out. But today. Today. Glory. This is the day the Lord hath made. And we will be glad and rejoice in it. Now gird up your loins like a man. And I will ask you. And you instruct me, God says. God turns up on the scene. Job is one of the oldest books, it's the oldest book in the Bible. It's often believed that he was part of one of the architects of the great pyramids that were being built, the pyramids of those days. He was a very rich man. He was highly thought of, highly sought after. He and Abraham met one another. Wow. And God comes to him and says, okay, Job, you're smart. Tell me. You instruct me. Have you noticed how we often try to tell God exactly what we want, when to do it, how to do it, and why he should do it?
Yeah.
I mean, we're smart. We're educated, aren't we? You know? I mean, we know. I know what I want. Well, I think. And then I suddenly discover what I think I want, I don't really need. God knows what I want. Not necessarily what I need. Tell me if you have understanding, he says to Job. Who set its measurement since you know? Or who stretched the line on it? Sorry, let's go back to verse 4 again. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? God is asking a question. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurement since you know? Come on, Job, answer the question. Well, who stretched the line on it? Who's measured it all out? Who's put it on the drawing board? Who's the architect? On what were the base On what were its base sunk? What's its foundation? Who laid its cornerstone? All these questions. Where were you when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted? Where were you? That's right. But you see, we forget those things. No. You see, at this time, we are living in this... I'm just going to say a 70-year period, approximately. We live within this physical confines of this fleshly body. Mm-hmm. And in living like that, we confine our minds to living in this time. Don't we? But if we will live by the Spirit,
amen,
we are not confined to this fleshly body.
Amen.
We are not confined to this fleshly body if we will live by the realm of the Spirit.
Amen.
We can soar like an eagle.
Yeah.
I mean, when I say we're not confined to this body, God can reveal to you mysteries that you have never been taught. God can give you words of revelation and words of wisdom and knowledge that you've never heard of before. And in that is why I'm saying, then we are not confined to the body. You see, the body carries flesh and blood. It carries our mind. It carries our intellect. Thank God, God does not need your intellect. I don't care whether you failed at school or whether you're a university graduate. When I could say graduate. God is not interested in how many degrees you have. Thank the Lord for that. A few of us would be out. See, God is interested in that realm of the Spirit. He is Spirit. He's not going to touch your intellect. Because when you die, that intellect dies with you. But if you are born of the Spirit, then that which is Spirit lives on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. There is no end. I can't work some things out. Do you know that? There are some things I do not have understanding on. In fact, there are many things. You see, I don't understand how Jesus walked on the water. Do you? But he did. A few years ago, we were over at GC's, and Bob took us out in one of the lakes. We found a shallow part. And just on this shallow part, there were some boulders. So I said, "Hey, I've got a great idea." I said, "Grab the camera." I said, "I'm going to walk on water." And I set off walking across these boulders, you see, and Bob has a photograph. I've got the photograph, and it appears that I am walking on water. Well, I scanned this thing and sent it to James and to Bob, and it landed at James's office. One of James's colleagues sees this photograph on the computer and says, "Wow!" He says, "Wow, who's that? I've got to meet him." how the mind can be so easily deceived. You know? People can be taken in. But when it's of the Spirit, you're not taken in. You know what God is doing, what God is saying. Verse 7. When the morning stars sang together. Where were you when the morning stars sang together? And all the sons of God shouted for joy. Where were you? You know, he tells us in the Word of God that when God created the earth, there were sounds. God created the earth, and it rang and it resonated with the sounds of glory. You know, I'm convinced that it would have picked up the songs of heaven. It would have picked up God's, the angels praising God. You see, the earth was filled with His glory. It wasn't filled with sin. It was filled with His glory. And if you read heaven, there is constantly praise and adoration and worship of the Lamb who was slain. What is going on now was going on right at the beginning of creation. Praise and adoration and worship. Glory to our God. Glory to our Creator and Maker of heaven and earth and all things. They even say today that they're able to pick up sound waves that are emitted from planets. Is that right? Well, the Bible already tells us that they sang. 6,000 years ago when it was written, those who were not living in this confinement of the body and this confinement of the mind, but were living in the realm of the Spirit of God and letting God speak to them, were hearing the mysteries from God, and God was telling them, the planets sing, the morning stars sing, the stars are constantly singing songs of praise and worship. And God's saying to Job, where were you when I put all this together? Yeah. Where were you when I orchestrated this? Where were you when I enclosed the sea with doors? Where were you? And God asks him so many questions. If you read through this Job 38, 39, God is asking him, where were you? Where were you? Where were you? Do you know the time when the mountain goats, chapter 39, verse 1, do you know the time the mountain goats give birth? Do you observe the calving of the deer? God is saying, I see all these things. None of these things pass my eye without I know. Do you not realize that you are more special to God than any of these things? Do you not realize that you are more important to Him than any of these animals? Do you not realize that today God has always got His eye upon you? That when you sleep, He's still awake. The Word tells us He never slumbers, He never sleeps. He's constantly watching over you. He's constantly caring for you. He's constantly got you on His mind. And no matter where you go, and no matter what depth you sink to, you cannot get away from the gaze of God.
Amen.
No matter what pains you go through, no matter what sufferings you go through, no matter what torment you go through, God will always be there, ready and waiting for you. So often some of our pains and some of our agonies that we go through, we do it ourselves. We inflict self-punishment. I've done this wrong, so I need to be punished. Why? He says He was crucified. He says He took my pains. He took my sufferings. So why should I be punished? But we do it, don't we? And when you do that, you are doing it, believe it or not, for self-justification. Let's be blunt and truthful about it. Self-justification. I'll feel good after this. Well, you're bound to do. Because once you get out of that, you've got to feel better than you did when you were in there. You know? But when you get out, you know better. Because it is self-justification. God is not saying about self-justification. God is talking about He justifies you.
Amen.
The word tells us to repent. Repent means just turn away. Turn away from what you've been doing that's not of God and walk to and go and do that which is of God. And the moment you turn away, you walk into this robe of righteousness. And He drops it on you. And the devil can't find you. If you read in Job 3, and I think it's 29, it says that one of the reason probably why Job went through this situation was because he made a way for the enemy to get into his life. That which I feared most has come upon me. Fear negates faith. Fear stops faith from working. You see, ever since man was created, he was created to live by faith. Faith did not just come into being when Christ came on the scene. Because Christ has been on the scene all the time anyway. He was in the beginning. He was with His Father when the worlds were being created, as was the Holy Ghost. And so God works by faith constantly. So faith did not come about when the New Testament arrived on the scene, when a new covenant arrived. Man did away with faith, allowed fear to come into his life and to dominate him and to control him. Read about Abraham. What did God say about him? He's the father of... Yeah, many nations. Thank you. He's the father of faith. He's before the new covenant. In fact, he's before the old covenant. See, faith is not a new word. It's not a new doctrine. It's not a new ideology. You want to know God, you have to have faith. If you want to live in God's light, you have to walk in faith. I have to trust Him. every day, in every situation, in every circumstance. What would happen if we suddenly had a recession like they had last century in the 30s? All the jobs go, all the money goes, you know, the finance goes belly up and down it goes. And your savings are worth that much. You go to the baker's with a barrel load of money for a loaf of bread. They were doing that in Germany. Carrying suitcases and going to buy a loaf of bread. People in the stock market were jumping off buildings and committing suicide. Do you know why? Because their God had just died. The love of money was the root of all their evil, and it destroyed them. In whom do we trust? In whom do we trust? Who do you trust, Graham? It's the only one you're going to be able to rely on. Even friends can let you down. You don't give up on them. You let God down, but he's not giving up on you, has he? Praise God. Isn't that great to know that? Yeah. We can let God down, but God never gives up on us. God's never lost a fight yet. Never lost a battle. He's always been victorious. He's always been a conqueror. Have a look at verse 40. Chapter 40, verse 1. You ready? I don't know what it says in the AV. This is what it says in the New American Standard. And then the Lord said to Job, "Will the fault finder contend with the Almighty?" Whoa. I don't know how many times I've read Job, and I've got to admit, I've never really seen that. It's never done that. Will the fault finder contend with the Almighty? This is when you say, "Oh, I'm just backing off. I'm not finding fault. I am not going to get in the ring and wrestle with God." Contend. Argue. What's it saying, the AV? Is it any stronger? No?
Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty?
Right. I like that bit, the fault finder. Because that's what we're doing, aren't we? We are actually finding fault with God's creation. We're grumbling, we're moaning, and we're complaining. God does not listen to moaners and complainers. There's no place for them in heaven. Verse 3. And then Job answers. Then Job answers the Lord and said, "Behold, I am insignificant. What can I reply to thee? I lay my hand on my mouth. Once I have spoken, I will not answer even twice and will add no more." He's like, that's it. Shut up. and listen to what the Almighty can do. Stand back and see the salvation of God.
Amen.
Jesus gave us that example when during this time he was accused. Art thou the Son of God? Answer them not. You've been accused of blaspheming. He answered them not. And Pilate says to him, he says, do you not realize that I have the power to put you to death or to set you free? And then Jesus answered him. You only have the power that has been given to you from God on high, basically. God doesn't give the power when it's not power. We need to have and to know the presence and the power of God in our lives. We need to begin to trust Him more and more. We need to realize that it is God who will bring us through these difficulties. It is God who will be victorious. It is God that will change the circumstances. You and I have to learn to walk in obedience and to follow Him. Your job won't do it. There are people with lots of money who have committed suicide. There are people with lots of money who are still not satisfied, who are still sad and are still searching for something. There are people with very little who are happy and satisfied because they know their God. And the Bible tells us, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. He's the supplier. We have to walk day by day in faith, in trusting Him. You see, God's laws have never changed. When God created the universe, when God, the creator of all things, He set the laws in motion right there and then, and they've never changed. We evangelicals, we arrive on the scene and we suddenly think we've got something new. It's always been there. It's always been there. We haven't got the angle on it. We haven't got the, you know, we haven't got the original thought on it. It was always there at the beginning of creation. God spoke it out and it became. Jesus came on the scene and did exactly what God was doing 4,000 years previously. He spoke it out, said, stretch forth your hand, and it became whole. That's what it's about. Faith is not a new thing. Faith is not something that you wave like a magic wand. It is an absolute total lifestyle.
Amen.
It's the essence of life. Do you know that? Thoughts just dropped into me. It's the essence of life. Without faith, I'm dead. Without faith, I'm lost. Without faith, I'm useless. Without faith, I have nothing. It's the essence of life. and it emanates from God. Yeah. It beats from the throne room of God. Yeah. It's the heartbeat of God. You see, for God to love me, God needs to have faith. I don't know about you lot, but for God to love me, He's got to have faith. And for, yeah, that's right. And for us to do it, we have to have His faith. You see, the only way we came to Jesus was when God gave us faith to believe. To believe. See, we'd lost it. We just lost it. And we started to live life for ourselves. Abraham became a man of faith when he started to live life for God. Read it. When you read it in your Bible, when God declares he became a man of faith, was when he absolutely trusted God, believed God for everything he said he was going to do. When he started to live his lifestyle changed, and he started to live for God. Then he became a man of faith. Then he had a son. Then he became a great man. Faith works. Faith works. And God wants every one of us to be men and women, young people of faith. In other words, He wants you and I to be grafted into the vine. And in that vine will flow that life of faith. Jesus lived a life of faith. You can prove it. Because when he left this earth, he left the responsibility to carry the message in the hands of 12 men, 12 apostles. One was a tax collector, classed as a thief. Others were fishermen. One was a zealot who would slit your throat at any opportunity you got if you crossed him. Thomas, he doubted everything that ever went on if he weren't there. Mark's a doctor. Luke's a doctor. He's got to see it all first. And Jesus leaves the church in these hands of these 12 guys. Now, if that isn't a faith step, I don't know what is. Peter, he's the one who's, bring them on. Just bring them on and I'll deal with it. When they get brought on, he's gone. I don't know him. Not to do with me. I've never seen him before. Nothing at all to do with me. Chicken. So the cock crows. Looking for the chicken. James and John, these were called sons of thunder. All mouth. All mouth, no action. Well, that's what we'd have called it, wouldn't it? You know, sons of thunder. We'd either go again. Well, if I were doing it, this is what I would do. I know, listen, this is how you should do it. All mouth and no action. I said, they must have, why did they get the nickname Sons of Thunder? Must have been over a period of time. Oh, here they go again. Oh, here we go. Yeah. When they've done, they don't do anything. They'll talk about it all day. But no action. And this is the crowd that Jesus leaves the church to. You can do it.
Amen.
He said. But I'll send you an ingredient that you need. The Holy Ghost. And when He comes, He shall come and baptize you with power. And on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 men were added to the church through a chicken. Through a guy who had a yellow stripe down his back a few weeks earlier. Because it was only a girl that said to him, "Aye, come on." It's only a girl that said to him, "Wait, I saw you with him. You're one of his cronies. You're a Galilean. You've been with him. Got a yellow stripe down his back. Scared of a girl." When the Holy Ghost comes, things change. Things change. We need that holy anointing. We need that holy anointing in our lives. That no matter what life throws at us. And I'm not going to blame the devil. I said no matter what life throws at us. The devil can't be everywhere. If he's at your house, he can't be at my house. Alright? Praise God. And if he's at my house, he's not at your house. Glory to God. There's only one devil. There are demons. And the word tells us they've given us power and authority. To deal with them, to cast them out and send them on the way. So don't say, "Oh, the devil's being bothered me," because if he is, you must be going to write some fantastic revelation that is coming from God. Don't give the devil more than what he's got. He's a defeated foe. Jesus said so. Don't exalt him. Keep him under your feet.
Amen.
I like it in that film where in the Garden of Gethsemane, you get out your skin on that one, don't you? You know, I mean, all in this Garden of Gethsemane in that film, The Passion, and suddenly there's the devil gloating and this serpent slithers out towards Jesus. And he's in his agony. And you're thinking, what's this snake going to do? Come on, you do, don't you? What is this snake going to do? Not what is Jesus going to do? And right there and then, and at the place where I was in, they had the volume up. I mean, it felt like the building shook. I know it made me shake, and his foot came down. I mean, I've read the story. I don't know how many times. I know what it said. What he said he did to him. That he would crush Satan underneath his feet. I tell you, I let down my skin nearly. It's like, yes, that's what happened. That is our victory. Jesus has overcome the world. We are not overcome by the devil. The word says we are overcomers. Stand in front of a mirror and be bossy and arrogant enough to look at yourself and say, I'm an overcomer. Well, that's what the word says about me. And God is not a man that he should lie. So what are you, Graham? Huh? Mighty in God. What are you, Geraldine?
I'm an overcomer.
You're an overcomer. Glory to God. What are you, Jonathan? An overcomer. You cannot change what the word says about you. Because the moment you try and do that, you're saying God is lying. The word of God says God is not a man that he should lie. Glory to God. I'm an overcomer, John. Yeah. And there are some days when I need to remind myself that I am an overcomer. I am not overcome. I am an overcomer. And thank God we go, you know, if we're going through the valley of grief, we'll go through it and we go, you know, we're going through it. We're not going to live there. Not going to live there. We're moving on. We have a destiny. We know we shall fulfill. A city on a hill. Heaven. And God is building his church and building his people to come to a place of overcoming, to know their God, to be a people that walk in faith, to a people who trust God, and to a people who will stand for what God is saying and do what God is doing and let God be God in their lives. And it's about that. And I don't care what is going to happen in these next few months, this next year, these next years. Jesus is on the throne.
Amen.
And he's not about to vindicate it. He's not about to be overthrown. You know, you might think it's winter in your life. And there's nothing blooming. And everything's cold and hard. But guess what? Aslan is on the move. Aslan is on the move. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's on the move. Praise God. No wicked witch. He's going to hold us back. No demon, no devil, but the King of Kings, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, will cause winter to disappear and will cause spring to arise and summer to come. Hallelujah. So focus on the King of Kings, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Focus on that and begin to see the winter melting away and the spring of God's life being released into you, and the harvest that comes from that springtime will appear to you during the summer.
Amen.
Glory to God. Walk by faith, believe him, trust him. Do not be moved by what you see. Do not be moved by what you are told. But be moved only by the Word of God. And begin to be a people whose lifestyle is a lifestyle of constantly walking and living by faith. Not what can I get from somebody else, but what can God give to me? What is God going to give to me? What? Think about, you know, when you get into circumstances and your back is against the wall, it's an opportunity for God. God, what are you going to do? I've done all I can do. I've said all I can say. I've prayed all I can pray. I've believed all I can believe. I'm backed against the wall. It's over to you, God. And it's that surrendering it in all to Him. That song, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give." You ain't got anything to give but your troubles, your trials, your pains, your agonies. The only time you've got something to give to Him is when life begins to be a life of rejoicing. And then you can give Him praise. And once you've learned to give Him praise, praise will bring you through that battle of fear. And you will press through into the things of God. The Word of God says, in everything give thanks. Don't be a person that is downcast and depressed. God has not given you a spirit of burden. He has not given you a spirit to be downcast with. He's given you a spirit of praise. You cannot take on the troubles of the world. And don't con yourself into believing that. The news media would have you and I take on the troubles of the world. When was the last time you heard some good reports on the news? Come on, you all watch the news. Could you tell me the last time you heard something good on the news? Yes? I can't hear you. Oh my God. That is not good news for the West Indies. Is that right? That is not good news for the West Indies. So that's not good news. Somebody somewhere is sad about that. Okay, try again. When was the last time on the news you heard some good news? It's tough, isn't it? It's not exciting enough, you see. It's not exciting, it has no drama about it. It's like watching the soaps on TV. I mean, you know, now and again I flick across and I think, our street's never like that. Where do these people live? You know, every drama and disaster. When is there anything good? Yeah, it happens with, you know, I mean, it's continuous. When is there anything good in these soaps? Tell me the last good thing that you saw in a soap. If you watch them. Me neither. But I notice every time I flick through and there's always something good. Somebody's going to plant somebody on there, or somebody's going to, you know, decapitate somebody. Or it's never good. Living in crises all the time. But God has given you a spirit of love, power, yeah, and a sound mind. God has given you good news. God has given you good news. Hallelujah. So go out with that good news and rejoice. And declare it. And scare every demon in hell. Because you believe it. Amen.
Praise the Lord.